Well, it's been a while since last recording an episode, so why don't we just get into it already? Welcome back to Meat Podcast. Enjoy the episode. Well, I have my all the shows I'm gonna add here, my plan, all the different segments I have, and why don't we take a what's new segment, because something's happening here in Denmark, and around the world as well, but also some of it in Denmark. Let's just get into it. As you may know, Christmas is right around the corner, and I'm gonna make a Christmas special, don't worry. We're only gonna be talking about Christmas. So yeah, it's really fun. So yeah, that's fun. So yeah, Christmas is the time of year where everyone hangs up lights and beautiful decorations and wait for holiday to celebrate the birth of a guy who died God knows how many years ago. And that's fantastic to know. The 24th of December will forever be known as the day. Is the day all I want for Christmas is you songs stop playing. And all the other normal songs start playing. But yeah, so what's new here in Denmark? There's going to be another lockdown. Great. Ain't that just fantastic? I was heard of just something on my phone. Ain't that just fantastic? Ain't that just fantastic? Yet another lockdown, like, that's just when we need it. Yeah, we didn't need it, and was it necessary? Absolutely not. And do we hate? And has this helped our Prime Minister's reputation that's already shit? Nope, not at all. Trust me, if you ask us what our opinion about her currently, it's... No. But yeah, that's basically what's new around the world. Christmas is going around, and Denmark's going into yet another lockdown because the amount of people who have COVID-19 is at its all-time highest here in Denmark. Because there's the anti-vaxxers and the anti-maskers that spread the virus. They're shit-ass people, and they should know what they're doing wrong and why they're basically the reason why humanity might just die to a virus who could prevent it, like... By the time the vaccine came around... I only just got my second shot of vaccine here yesterday, but, lucky. Actually, I think it's 2 days ago now. 2 days ago now? Now, before you judge me as... it's actually because I had COVID-19 for a while. It's just the amount of time I was immune towards COVID. Shit, forward at some point, it was July. Then suddenly it became September, then suddenly it became January 10th in 2022. And then suddenly it got lowered all the way down so that it wasn't relevant anymore. So I got the vaccine. Besides, I wanted to get it over with anyway. But yeah, that's basically what's new. What's new for me is absolutely nothing. Everything remains the same because I never go outside. Fresh air, what the hell is that? What are you talking about? What are those fluffy sheep in the cloud? Up in the sky? Are those fabled clouds? I should really go outside. I mean, I do to walk a dog, but that's all. Yeah. I guess I'll find out what segment I'll do for next, and I'll do it there. So, what are we going for this time? Why don't we go for the TV segment? Because, well, there's a show I want to talk about that's here on the internet. So why don't we go to that, shall we? Well, Glitch Productions is back at it again, and has hit us with two seasons of a really successful show. Which is called Meta Runner. Well, this time they have two new shows, and one of those has had a full season, while the other one is just a pilot. and I gotta wait about talking about the other one until the first season of it is complete. If I already talked about this show, deal with it. You can't stop me. Yeah, I think it premiered like after. I haven't made an episode in a while, so everything is just blurred together about this. Yeah, typical me. Such a dumbass all the time. I felt something on the back of my head. But yeah, let's talk about Sunset Paradise. So to learn about Sunset Paradise, and you need to know about the character Maggie. Maggie is actually a classic character from SMG4, the channel which basically started it all. She started out as an Inkling from Nintendo game Splatoon 2. Who wants Splatoon 1? I was gonna say in regular Splatoon, but 2 just rolled off the tongue because that's a better game, because it's on a better console. Deal with it. And eventually SMG4 decided to turn her from an Inkling to a human doing a story arc on his channel called The Anime Arc, where Francis was obsessed with anime girls, strange Inkling gang to create perfect anime waifus. When the island was collapsed, during the final battle, Maggie had all of her and debris fell on top of her after she watched her friend die as well. And she might have died. But then, Axel, a new character introduced at this point, who is an anime writer who has the pen that Francis used to create those anime, uses Inkweaver, which is the pen's name, to create the perfect character. Shaggy! It's based on the Ultra Instant Shaggy meme, which is apparently canon now, thanks to Mortal Kombat Battle for the Realms intro. With a green glow as well. Like, get over here, mean! Ultra Instant Shaggy is canon. And she eventually fulfilled her destiny, and she eventually won the Splatfest, I think of that. Yeah, the Splatfest. Which is what's her dream all along, and she also made a promise to, well, Destiny. And afterwards, she didn't know her purpose, because, well, she wasn't accepted anymore. Certain time during the YouTube arc, where classic SMG4 character SMG3 tried to take over the channel with the YouTube, she gained a human voice to avoid copyright issues. And now she's being sent off to a whole new story, a whole new life. And I was actually intrigued about the show. Let's get on. So let me start out. I had one major thing that I was worried about for this show. The shoes that had to fill in. That was going to be my biggest problem. That was the thing I was the most worried about. Because of how massively successful and massive Metal Runner is in sheer scale and just downright how awesome it was, I felt like it, and how the animation was, how smooth the. The animation was smooth and the characters felt real. I feel like it was going to be hard for this show to live up to it. It's a great show, but in terms of a follow-up show made by Glitch Productions, it kind of falls short, if I'm gonna be honest. It's a great show, but it falls short because of the shoes it has to fill up. Now, Murder Drone will fill up that show with the character department. This show definitely had the better main character. Concerned most fans of Glitch Productions are basically SMG4 fans. Of course, they were going in and they knew absolutely everything. Character, but let me get a major issue. Maggie has gone through emotional trauma. You know, watch her best friend die and all. But I really, really do not get the point of Shadow Maggie, which is Maggie's doubting. I really fail to see the point in that. Absolutely fail to. What? Because we already have that, in a way. We already had her doubt herself. And that came into fruition as her Inkling self. In Meg's destiny, maybe they could be like the silhouette of her Inkling self to work Cabra. Maybe this was just to avoid Cabra issues. But I feel like her doubt was completely unnecessary to include. I feel like if it could have been left out, that show would have been equally as awesome. Maybe even better, because it just feels so unnecessary. So, yeah. That's the biggest issue I have with it, and honestly, yeah, that's the issues. When there's the animation, they hope to go, and they certainly did, an anime roleplay that is, actually. So let's talk about that, shall we? So for those of you who don't know, the anime roleplay isn't quite the common, it's an anime genre, if you know. But that's what this came out as, a 3D anime. Because of how expressive the character faces were, and the way their story was set up, and the way some of the characters worked, and the way some of the villains were, this was definitely more of an anime than a video game inspired show. That's how it feels. It doesn't really live up to what it is, but what it does make is amazing. Let's start out with an issue in the animation quality. Whenever a character is running after the bad guy, it doesn't feel like she's running. Like, I'm not kidding. Maybe he's running after like a bad guy. It doesn't feel like she's running. And of course, Gavin, one of the producers of the show, who is obsessed with cliffhangers, had to include cliffhangers. Of course, the show couldn't end on a cliffhanger because Maggie had to return to SMG4. Thank God. Now I see the 2 and the cliffhanger instead of season 1. Almost, I just feel like, man, Midoriya should have a happy ending. But yeah, season 3 has been confirmed. They're probably working on us right now. But let's get into some of them. And Ouribori is sort of this very, is sort of this show's answer to SMG4 Mario. SMG4 Mario is like Maggie's partner. SMG4 Mario and is the reason, the whole reason Maggie got all this, got all these chances. And he's a pretty great friend. And one of doing, I think it was the anime arc, doing training, and she got really mad and he cheered her up. He's a great friend. Great friend, always there to help, and when she presumably died during the end of the anime arc, Mario was the only one, Mario, heartbroken, because he just watched her, he just thought he saw his friend there, trying to dig her out of the rubble. I was just sheared out of one last desperate attempt to save her. And if that's not Karen, I don't know what is. And the SMG4 community gets mad whenever the hell she gets angry at him, despite the fact that he's an annoying piece of shit. Trust me. I'm that type of guy, and trust me, my classmates accused me of being an annoying piece of shit. Despite the fact that the only person I've annoyed in a while is only like one of them. I've stayed away from them. God, I'm accused of a lot. I got accused of a lot, I don't do. So Ouribori kind of fills in their shoes to avoid issues. And we even see a group picture taken before the trip, where Maggie's phone cleverly covers up her good old buddy Mario. Copyright issues. Love him or hate him. And I love the art style of that picture. And I not just love that it has the SMG4 doodle, that's basically become the channel logo. Hell, the logo of my YouTube channel currently is basically a drawing made, and I'm proud of it. This is the V-Union, and it's awesome. By the way, go check out my YouTube channel, and go check out all my other social media. I have YouTube, Newgrounds, Reddit, Twitch, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I even have a Discord server if you want to, and of course I have this place right here, my podcast. 9 things to keep track of. No wonder. By the way, I don't use Twitch. I still do it in case I get to using it. No, just in case. Anyways, back to reviewing the show. Yeah, Maggie is. But yeah, another major complaint that I have with Maggie is... You're going to show me, but... I don't know. Dylan is pretty solid. I feel like he doesn't quite, you know, feel as powerful as someone like Lux does. But again, he's a crime lord in a small town. And then we have the final act, which is probably what saved the entire show for me. I enjoyed the entire show, but I feel like the more I look into it, the more I realize its major issues. And I have to say, the finale really is a problem. The final act is definitely better than the first show. And better than that. Because, of course, first of all, it doesn't end a cliffhanger, and it's a happy ending. Second of all, the final battle is just borderline awesome. We see Mayonor getting chased by the Funky Force, a group of dudes who fell into Rehack and gained the power of funky dancing, which led into a animation, which ended into a funking special, before the show even started on an episode. Yeah, that makes sense. Introducing them, but they turned out to want to create villains because they're lacking villains currently. Yeah, that makes sense. But we see a lot of villains come into play. We see the Potato Gang, the first pair of villains. I'm just calling Mr. Egg. I forget it was Egg Spinning. I'm just gonna call him Spinning. I'm calling Egg. An ex-goony. I've invaded the tower with the Phoenix Egg, trying to get Benedict's old body. It's Benedict. Hard-boiled crime boss. It turns out he was pretty powerful. There's also Whisk, who was advertised as a good girl. By the way, that's Catgirl. But, she does not play that role at all. She doesn't even play the role of an anti-hero. She's just a villain who gets the good guy character treatment. Another little tiny flaw. I can understand. I mean, I can understand that she was part of the advertising for the show, doing English Productions intros at some point, which where we first saw Oribori, and we of course saw her. And so we can. So Oribori presumably fucking dies. Great. Character development. Love it. And Meggy faces off against him and uses the dragon egg to restore Oribori. And they fight Mr. Benedict. And he gets sent into a limbo alongside Oribori's father, who he killed. So he'll be stuck in there. So he'll be tortured for a long time. Gotta say that. But let's get into the finale. The finale feels great. Maggie takes Sylvie to corroborate his memory. She finds out what she wants to do, which is the reason she came up here. And when she comes back, she wants to be a sports coach. Kind of disappointed when she saved an entire island. I thought she was gonna be like a superhero or something, but I guess not. I guess she just wants to be, well, sports coach. And we see her later on develop, starting to become that. We also see her play a major role in having Melanie, who got like powers from the fierce deity mask. We see her help get to terms with the death of her loving her at the who her friend who her friend Axel that Axel guy, you know, the guy with the ink weaver, the pen, yeah, who was killed off during the finale of the Genesis arc, which heartbroke me. Jesus. Fun fact, the anime arc started a trend of killing off characters character in every arc. The animator, of course, had Dusty. The YouTube arc actually had my Australian friend, Greg, which was surprisingly deep, because in Greg's final moments, the last words he gave to Mario were, "Greg loves you." I feel like that death has more impact on me than any of the other deaths. I can already feel if an SNG4 fan finds this, he's gonna be like, "You fucking what, mate?" Oh god, I'm gonna get canceled on Twitter for this. That's my opinion. And of course, and Axel, of course, in the Genesis arc. And who knows? We might get another arc where they're gonna either go for. Who knows? Bowser? Or Psycho? Or Tari? Or Bell, or Wimpu. Or Maggie, or Melanie. Or SNG4, or SNG3, or SNG1, or SNG2. Look, he has a lot of characters now. Or Bob, or Rob, or Boopkins, or Jub-Jub, or Mario, or Luigi. Or Wario, or Waluigi, or Peach. You know, he could kill off anyone in the next arc, but back to the show. So overall, if the show had came before Minute Runner, it would have been a massive hit, still. And Minute Runner would have been an even bigger hit due to the sheer surprise of it. But it kind of fails to live up to the expectations of it, to the expectations I had after watching Minute Runner Season 2, which was just borderline awesome. But still falls short. The final act definitely. It's definitely the most solid part of the show. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. The show is fantastic, but it's just some of the major flaws. The animation, it doesn't feel like a video game. It feels more like an anime than a inspired show and video game. Inspired show and Shadow Maggie is completely useless, and the expectations, and it failed to fill the shoes that Minute Runner left behind. Granted, those were pretty massive shoes that would never be able to live up to. Woo! I've been ranting for some. 17 minutes. I think it's about time I move on. Let's go on to the gaming segment, because I have some games to review. Like I said, let's move on to the gaming segment because I have two games to review. Then, of course, we'll end, and then, of course, staying to tradition, we're gonna end it off with, you know already. With the segment you already know, so I'll come after. Third gaming segment! Come on. Ooh, son of a bitch! Well, these two games are not in the same kind of genre, but I'm still gonna review them because they're two of my absolute favorite games of all time. And they're both on PlayStation. One of them is entirely free on PlayStation, and one is, well, a PlayStation hit. Let's start out with the one that I'm currently not playing. It's the multiplayer Halo-inspired game with portals, Splitgate! So let's get one thing out of it straight. It does not try to replace Halo. As far as I know, this game just tries to be standalone. On its own. And I feel like it does great on its own. The game is fantastic. When I learned when it came out, infamous video game reviewer Video Game Donkey made a video where he compared it to the recently released Halo Infinite. Where he ended up saying that the better game was both because they're both better than Far Cry 6. Video Game Donkey has a habit of doing that. So if you're disappointed, just know that it's Video Game Donkey, anything can happen with him. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at all. But let's get, so the cool gameplay is, it's the first-person shooter with portals. It's commonly described as Portal meets Halo. And I can actually see that. First of all, the characters are very easy to distinguish, because You can easily customize the way your enemy's colors, and it's just few, to S so they will never blend in. Hell, my characters are full-blown purple. Though granted, they will blend in with some of my characters. But not granted, if my teammates are wearing a purple, or wearing a pink Lux, purple Lux skin, I'm kind of mistaken for one. But I'm still have fun. Now you usually start out with a blue skin. And let me run you over the weapons. So we have the carbine. The carbine is a single fire rifle with a sight on top. I will not tell you the amount of ammo I have because I couldn't be bothered checking them. It's a good star weapon, but it gets overshadowed by the assault rifle, which is another weapon you spawn, which is another weapon that you have in most game modes. And what it is, and it's essentially the carbine, but rapid fire. The carbine is better for getting quick headshots in before switching to the assault rifle to get in a lot more damage and to nail in. Next up, we have the battle rifle. It's the baby between the carbine. It's the middle ground between the carbine and assault rifle, and it's the best of two worlds. It's great for headshots and okay distances, and it fires multiple rounds at once per click. Whatever the hell you use to play it, I play on a controller, so I use per R2 click. And it's actually currently my favorite gun in the game. True, some might get close, but this is my favorite. Next up, we have... no first-person shooter can be complete without a shotgun. The shotgun, you're not able to aim with it, but it's still powerful. When you get up close, you can one-shot anyone. No matter how much health. Falls, bam, suddenly dead. It's a great weapon, but I feel like it's a little short range, and the ammo count is actually 6 bullets. So it has a supreme lack of ammo, which just makes it so much worse. They could give it more ammo, and it would earn its current rate, which is legendary. Next up, we have another first-person shooter game must, the sniper rifle. The sniper rifle is fantastic at long range. Oh, that's what they're built for. And this one can also one-shot, but only with headshots. You have to be steady and fast, because your opponents can zoom across the map in record time. But I still managed to encounter players who were able to headshot me even while I'm doing God knows what. When you actually play the game, you suddenly get a whole new perspective of it. Gotta say, whole new perspective of it. So with all this in mind, there's still a lot more to talk about. I'm not done. And next up for weapon, we have an SMG. That's similar to the shotgun. You can't aim down with it. You can only hold it normally, but it has 50 bullets in one capacity. I actually counted that as well. I got you, homie. And it deals a lot of damage real quick. Like, real quick. You can tear through an enemy in seconds with it. Just be aware. And, you know, it'll deal some damage. It deals ant damage at a distance because you gotta get close because of the bullet spread. That's massive. So now, let's talk about the next weapon. The plasma rifle. Which does have a sight you can aim down, surprisingly enough. The plasma rifle, I think. Try the game out yourself to find out, I forgot it. And I'm not just gonna go down and play the game. I'm too lazy. Laziness. Anyways, the plasma rifle is similar to the SMG, except it has a longer distance and is more powerful, but it and you don't have the requirement to reload, but you have to take care of, but you have to make sure it doesn't overheat, which it can. It's one of the better weapons. I had my hands on it that one round, and I got Killing Nation Agency, which is taking 10 kills without a death to disturb it. 10 kills. I'm pretty sure I could have kept going and get like 15 kills in a row. But my funny killing spree was eventually put to an end. Probably with a clever headshot, or just the fact that they all ambushed me like, this guy's too good, or maybe it's because my gun ran out of, maybe it's because it ran out of energy, so I couldn't use the fun weapon. By the way, it has 100 energy and it drains alright fast. You're gonna want to replace it with another one of them. Next up we have the pistol. It's alright for dealing damage. You can't aim down the side, I guess, still, but it's still fun. Next up we have the BFB, the big fucking bat. You swing it at an opponent, they die instantly. It has a total of 4 hits out of it. It has 100%. Every hit takes away 25% of its energy, so meaning it amasses to 4 hits. I would only recommend this if you're in a tight situation where your opponent is up close and personal with you. You just pull it out, and it's great for disturbing him. But hell, there are even game elders, but there are some game modes like Splitball, where you have infinite energy on it. So you're basically hoping. Now, next up, we have the railgun, or rail cannon, or whatever. And this gun is powerful. It feels powerful. And I hold it in my hands, I'm like, death to all who oppose me. But it charge time does get in the way. It's still a powerful weapon, and game modes like Instigate, but it's just some of my most fun game modes of all time because shooting the gun just feels so meaty and powerful. You just feel so powerful holding it. Now, of course, there's the melee mechanic, which can kill enemies in 2 hits, and some game modes 1. To make it fair and balanced. But there's also the portal gimmick. You can place portals on blue walls, and they allow you to zip across the map really fast, and also allow you to trick your opponent. You can also shoot through enemies' portals to surprise them. I've got a kill through an enemy portal. Yeah, it's fun. So yeah, it has a lot of fun game modes, too many to list actually, and it also has a lot of skins, and it actually has a good system. Because Druid does have a battle pass and it does have microtransactions, you don't need them to unlock cool skins. Well, I currently have like a, I don't forget the color, but it's a cool skin that has like a dark black texture. Don't worry, your period, the color your enemy chose you to be. You know, my enemies are purple. Some people see me as red, some people see me as black. Who knows? Who cares? Who gives a fuck? Yeah, overall, I would rate this game 9 out of 10. It could have a campaign where it goes over and introduces the gimmicks and even, you know, introduces you to the proper way to play the game in an awesome way, and also has race. But overall, great. Now, let's talk about the PlayStation hit God of War 2018. Honestly, I don't want to go over the other games because either A, I'll instantly regret talking about the brutal murder of several gods, or find some people, and giving them a need for therapy. And 2, I'm lazy as fuck because that story is too long. But I haven't completed the story mode yet, and I don't plan. And so I'm just gonna go over the basics of the game and fully review it later on. The game is fantastic. The gameplay is smooth, and it has seamless, smooth transitions. Everything is like in one big take. You constantly follow Kratos around. By the way, the main character's name is Kratos, and he's awesome. By the way, I'm gonna put this out there. This is the best adaptation of Kratos. by a long shot. Classic Kratos is, don't get me wrong, powerful. But,
that's all he had to personality. He was just a rage monster and wanted to kill all the Greek gods.
This Kratos is a father who wants to take his son on the right path. We see, his interactions are just so simple. Instead of the sort of lightish tone he had in the first three games, this tone was like, boy. You can just hear his delivery before it even happens. That's how awesome he is in this game. Let's talk about Atreus. Boy, he's a great character as well. He's another major highlight. And the gameplay-wise, he plays an important role because at first you can only use him to shoot arrows at enemies. And that serves as distractions. And eventually he jumps onto enemies, giving you an opening. You also unlock runics for your Leviathan axe. And thanks to trailers for the sequel, we know we're getting the Blades of Chaos. At least I don't know. That's basically revealed at this point thanks to YouTube. So currently the game is a 10 out of 10, and I can only imagine it gets an 11 out of 10 because the story is just borderline awesome. So now let's move on to the final segment. The segment I will keep doing until I run out of compliments for you. Let's move on to the self-improvement segment. Yeah, right now what's gonna happen? Time for you to get some compliments to your beautiful ass. Let's move on to the self-improvement segment. You feeling it now today? Shit, I hope not. Well, allow me to lighten your mood by giving you a compliment. So
I've been spending a lot of time on Reddit, and I've been learning a lot that men are severely undertreated in this society. Hell, on International Women's Day, Google changes everything to celebrate it, but on International Men's Day, Google remains the same. The only reason why I knew about it was because of memes. And that's just tragic. There are a lot of men that don't feel like they're welcome to society. And honestly, here's something I'm gonna say. You don't have to be accepted by society. Society has to accept you. You're perfect the way you are. Don't change yourself. Only change yourself if you want to. But don't change yourself just for the sake of getting a better future. Change yourself so that you may be happy with yourself. I have nothing against people who change their gender or who are furries. I have nothing against them. I only hate furries when they take it too far. Like zoophiles. I'll talk about that in the drama segment in another episode. Maybe next month's episode? Yeah, by the way, I'm going to schedule and mark that on the outro. So, yeah, if I have to say, you are just the perfect man, and everyone around you should be happy that you're in their lives. You bring a lot to the table, and you should be happy that you're a thing. A lot of people don't feel welcome, but here, let me say it, you're perfect the way you are. Hell, I'm an autistic, I'm a Danish boy with, I'm a Danish kid. I keep calling myself those things. I'm a Danish man with a Danish young man with autism, sitting in front of his phone recording an episode for a podcast that barely no one listens to. You're perfect the way you are. Don't change yourself. Alright? You're perfect. As a wise TikToker once said, gorgeous! Anyways, moving on to, anyways.
it's that time again, and I'm gonna give you a quick update now. So, I'm just gonna say it right now, I'm definitely gonna have a bed, gonna get myself a me podcast schedule, because I feel like this whole thing basically started the whole junior lineup now, that I have now. So I feel like me barely getting any of my not giving it my actually existing free time, it's just a missed opportunity. I do not do anything in my spare time, like anything. I can make like a lot of episodes, but because I love myself a schedule, I'm gonna stick to monthly episodes, and if there are holidays like Easter, Halloween, International Men's Day, Thanksgiving, International Women's Day, I'm gonna talk about it. So yeah. So that's the schedule. Monthly episodes with celebratory episodes. You're gonna expect an episode of me podcast to celebrate Christmas. With that said, I'll see all of you in the next episode, which will probably be recorded on Christmas morning when I wake up. I'll see all of you in the next episode. Make sure to keep track of yourself. Eat healthy. Eat healthy and watch some with Junior while you're at it. Take care and peace.